For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndre, here with Bill Goldberg. Welcome back.
It's been a couple weeks. Yeah, it's good to be back, man. God knows we've done so much stuff since I've been gone that I don't know where to begin, but good to be back.
Before we get started, let me tell you a little bit about Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus off your first deposit. That's BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus. Bet Online. The game starts here. What's first of all, while you were gone, we just kind of gave a little heads up that that Gage is off to college. He's going to play football. He's going to study. And it was the trip was, you know, taking him out there, getting him set up, which I'm sure is exciting and overwhelming and nervous and everything for any parent that has to go through that, especially on your first kid. Actually, I was talking to Aaron Shelby a little while ago, and yeah, his son just went off to I think he's in Washington, or I'm going to get it wrong, but I think he's in Washington or Oregon or something.
Arguably the toughest thing I've ever done. You know, I can speak from my perspective. I can speak from a father's perspective, but first and foremost, it's tough being Goldberg's son, right? Gage has kind of tried to get himself out from that shining spotlight, you know, and separate himself and be his own guy, right? So he goes to Colorado, plays under an ex-teammate of mine. So he's not shedding it. But the fact is that in life, you weigh your options and you choose which option has the most positives and the least negatives, right? So we figured that the positives far outweighed the negatives by going to Colorado. Deion Sanders, the familiarity with myself and Deion and our families, and the fact that Deion's done what he's done in a short period of time for the University of Colorado as far as bringing him to the forefront. As a dad, you just want your son to be comfortable in his new surroundings, meet as many people as possible, feel entrenched, feel welcomed, and feel comfortable with, you know, Wanda and I get on a plane, you know, we can't get there in a short period of time. So are there enough people around that fulfill his needs, right? So as a father, being on the ground for a week and trying to solidify those relationships before I take off, that was the most important thing. That was why we were there.
Yeah.
I was able to, at the end, kicking and screaming, board the plane knowing that he's in a good place.
Right.
Knowing that, forget about football, we're talking life perspective, knowing that if he has a bad day and he feels like shit and he has nobody to lean on, one thing that Deion has told me, and he's professed this to everyone, is that not only does he hire good coaches, but he hires good fathers. So there are enough people there with a vested interest engaged as a human being, not only my son, that if push came to shove and he needed somebody to put his arm around him and comfort him, he's got that 10 deep.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm ecstatic. And then, you know, we get back and 2 days later, I get a video sent to me from the coaching staff, you know, Gage helping him out, you know, beating the Navy SEALs in a swimming relay, and seeing his excitement, man, is just, I could just burst into tears. I'm so happy. Right.
I saw that picture, some big kids. So some of the football players did like a, I don't know, just kind of a charity thing or whatever. Just a,
oh no, it was the Navy SEALs. See, what Deion does is he keeps everybody on their toes, right? So off season training's a pain in the ass. It's monotonous. It sucks, right? So he keeps these guys on the edge of their seat because they don't know who's coming in that day to train them. They don't know what type of training they're going to do. They could climb a mountain one day, and the next day they could have 10 Navy SEALs putting them through calisthenics and whatever on the field, and then taking them to the pool and putting them through SEAL training stuff. And what they don't know is that our buddy Andy, who basically raised Gage, is a MARSOC Marine, right? And so he's taught Gage that swimming stuff for, I don't know, probably 8 years.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's good.
So he's got kind of a leg up on it. And they didn't know that. They don't know a lot about Gage, right? What they see is what they get. So it just filled my heart knowing that he so quickly has blended with the team and is able to show them what he's got. So every day is a new day, man. So he's been killing it. And, you know, as a father, I'm pretty ecstatic about where he is.
And, you know, like you said before, off the air, we were talking, you got him set him up out there and he's got his Bronco out there, which Colorado is a great place for that as well. I mean, just
what,
couldn't
what
be better.
Better place for that vehicle?
I mean, like if he was going to, you know, go to school in New York,
well, that's different.
You know, like, you know, it's like, this is a much better place, you know, for the Bronco. Like you said, get away. And, you know, I know you got family out there. He's got cousins out there as well. So not just the team. He's got a little bit.
Jesus.
Of-
yeah. We went to the Rockies Phillies baseball game. Cause I know Bud Black from being the coach at the Padres. And so we got Gage hooked up with the Rockies. My brother's restaurant's Matsuhisu in downtown Denver. It's a Nobu restaurant, and it's freaking fabulous.
Oh yeah!
And in a 6 day span, Gage has already been there twice, and you know, getting that relationship taken care of. They got a condo in Denver. Push came to shove, he got stuck. He's got a place to stay.
Yeah.
We met, you know, the owner of a couple hotels and restaurants in Boulder, and we're hooked up for the whole season. And if push came to shove and Gage needed a room, he could pick up the phone and call him. So as a dad, as, you know, a protector, I mean, I got a lot of people that have a lot of character that are watching after our boy.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, that's the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah. Until your brother sends you an invoice for all those sushi dinners.
NIL, boy. I had the conversation with him this morning. College football is a different place, man. Gage, you know, you've heard of this NIL. It's name, image, likeness. College football players are able to go out and garner sponsorships. Gage lockers in the same locker room with the guy who's got the highest NIL rating, which is $4.5 million a year. And it just so happens to be Deion's son, right?
Yeah.
He teaches a class about NIL and
that's good.
Sports marketing. So, I mean, who better to learn from than Deion Sanders, right? So already existing, Gage has Goldberg's Garage, Wanda's Wizu, which is cool.
Yeah.
Fabletics. We're working on an electric bike company right now. He's got McLaren of North America, which is the biggest one.
Yeah.
It's about that. And he's got Matsuhisa, hopefully now, to wear,
he
can wear their shirt, and they give him free sushi. Right.
And so, he will have Bravago when he's old enough.
100%.
He'll have our company as well.
And, no question. And in this day and age, man, it's a very simple process to get NILs. You know, at the end of the day, a walk-on can't really garner hundreds of thousands of dollars in an NIL like these other people. But once you pad your list of current NIL deals, no matter how small or how big they are, it's more attractive to other companies coming in. So,
you know, and I can't stress enough how important it is to understand the business side of things, what happens behind the scenes, not just your image and your self-marketing, but just everything, even as you're preparing for a career professionally after school, you got to, and maybe it happens, maybe it doesn't happen. Injuries can happen, all kinds of stuff. You've been down this road. You know what I'm talking about. But to understand the business of it, I mean, I have a friend who's a former professional baseball player, played for many years, and kind of shifted gears and started looking more at, you know, coaching and college coaching and understanding the business side, and even did a stint on like investing for other players. You know, there's a lot there. And, you know, even talking with somebody in the entertainment world, talking to an agent, going, what does that mean? You know, to talk to an agent, what does an agent do for you these days? It's changed.
There is no better time than now, if you're a kid, to learn this space, because it's what makes the world go round right now.
Yeah.
Truly. And there's no too early to learn it. It's perfect. And I'm ecstatic to know, not only as a father, but as a businessman, that my son is learning about this in summer school. He's got one class. He's not even enrolled, you know, for fall yet. So, I mean, this time right now is acclimation time, you know, 2 months for him to get associated with the surroundings and learn the team, learn the players, learn the coaches, learn what they like, what they don't like, be there 15 minutes before they say to be there, all that kind of shit, you know?
Yeah. I got to ask Deion Sanders' son, what does he drive?
Well, that's another funny one, right? So yesterday Gage calls me and he goes, Dad, Shadur's Urus just arrived.
Yeah, the Lamborghini. Nice.
Like, that's cool. Last week when I was there, I was seeing him drive the Cybertruck all week. When's he going to pull the TRX out?
Yeah.
And that's our next trip up there. That's my first stop. It's Colorado Springs Dodge.
Yeah, okay.
That's who's hooked up the Sanders boys prior, and they've got a good relationship with CU, and so we're going to work on getting Gage a little TRX action. Not that I don't like the Bronco by any means. It's perfect, right? But, you know, and another NIL would serve him well. Although, yeah. I'll pick up the phone and call Mr. Farley and see if he wants to do something.
See if he wants to do something. Compete.
Hey, man, at the end of the day, it's a great pool to be in. You got the top two NIL values on one team. Their father coaches the team, and the father used to be my teammate, and, oh, my son's going there now. So,
yeah, you know, I like it. I like this story. Yeah. I'm not even, you know, I mean, admittedly, I'm not a huge football fan, but I'm, you know, I'm going to be watching Gage because
it's a good Hollywood storyline, if nothing else. Yeah. Right?
And but, that, you know, but I love Gage since he was a little kid. And
true, but that in itself, you know, adds value and it adds intrigue. Right. And if he can put the pads on and snap the helmet on and go out there and be a freaking killer, like I know he can.
Yeah.
He's going to write his own ticket. So if my job as a parent and as Goldberg to open as many doors as humanly possible for him, you know, in his journey along the way also. So I'm his agent.
Speaking of opening doors, what's going on in the garage? Goldberg's garage.
Oh yeah. Well, here, let me show you. We've talked on the podcast how many times about the garage and about the build and about what's gone right, what's gone wrong. Well, along the way, this 4.5 year process, we have replaced the 4 24-foot corner doors 5 different times. Okay. And now we're doing it again. As you see.
Because they're oversized garage doors. They had to be custom made, and it was just, and they're so thick and so heavy, have to be essentially, you know, weatherproof, like to the extreme. And just an incredible feat, by the way, because if you, for those of you listening on the podcast, if you jump over to YouTube, you get a little peek of.
Yeah, you're going to want to go to YouTube and see this. I moved these yesterday morning at 6 a.m., right? So everything that was over here has now moved to here. Then tomorrow we switch sides and we go to these 24-foot doors on that side, and all of those cars are being moved as we speak. So, you know, the ironic part is that the first door that went up, we already had two damaged panels. So, you know, this process has been probably the biggest pain in the ass, and I'm not here to lambaste the companies by any stretch of imagination, because, you know, stuff goes wrong. I understand, but it's not going to happen again. This is the last. You know, they damaged a couple doors, asked if I'd be willing to replace those doors with the doors that were existing here. And yesterday I said, you know what, let's do it. Let's, you know, path of least resistance. But I woke up this morning going, I'm done taking one for the team. I'm finished. So any panel that's been damaged has to be completely replaced by a new one. So I put my foot down today. Goldberg's back. So,
yeah.
Right? It's been, you guys have heard it. I'm not going to continue to beat a dead horse. I mean, it's been the angst of my negativity towards this unbelievable, cool structure, you know, and it'd just be nice to get the damn thing done once and for all. But, you know, CHI is trying to bend over backwards. I mean, the reality is it should have been done right the first and or second time, not the fifth or sixth. But, you know, the company is owning up to it, and they've got one of their top reps out here, and I wouldn't let it be done without him on site so that he can see everything that happens and in real time. And, you know, we have a new installation company. Texas Overhead Doors did it for the first five attempts, and now we've got another company out here doing it. And ironically, the owner of the company is best friends with one of the original contestants for Bull Run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, and they're right up the street. So it's tough to come down on him like you know, like I want to, because he's a good kid, man. So
right.
I try not to kill the messenger, but if somebody hits another interior panel of my garage today and dents it, I'm going to take heads off.
In the garage, I saw you guys were working on a project that wasn't necessarily one of your cars. You were working on, I guess it was one of Gage's friends.
Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, these sponsors that we deal with throughout the years are wonderful people, right? Not only do they have great products and they're run by, you know, great people, but at the end of the day, again, these people have big hearts, and they're, we are all in this car hobby, not only to put smiles on our own faces and have fun in the space, but to pass it down, right? And Richard Waitis's willingness to give a free exhaust to an ex-teammate of Gage's, a shop classes student, you know, just someone who really needs it.
Yeah.
Is overwhelming, and it's really cool for me. So every exhaust that we're going to install here at Goldberg's Garage is either going to be for a kid, for a current high school kid, or installed by a current high school kid. So if I have any more of my vehicles that I don't have MagnaFlow on, I'm going to invite a kid out from the class based upon how their performance is the previous week from the shop teacher. And I'm going to help them, have them help me install, man. You know, it's active participation. It's passing it down. It's, you know, sharing your connections with kids who definitely deserve it. I had a meeting with Lincoln yesterday. They came out to the house, their Midwest rep. And, you know, I've had a relationship with them for years, and they, through programs like what Kindig's doing and what other builders are doing, they care about, you know, the trades, and they care about people using their machines, right? If these trades don't continue to grow and they disappear like they have over the last number of years, there's going to be less welders out there. There's going to be less people out there that know how to work with their hands. And so I've got a new television show that I'll be announcing all the details very soon. But Link, I wanted Lincoln to be a part of it. I wanted a 5-minute segment every day about, or every episode about them either teaching me the ins and outs of welding or having a kid from the welding local welding class come out and, you know, have him teach me. I have no ego, especially when it comes to welding, because my shit looks like popcorn. So I need to learn. And what better time to do it?
You know, yeah. It's funny. I was just thinking about either at the garage or at the school, and it might be a little too much to ask on, you know, from Richard Waitis, but what a great guest to have at the school or for some of those students, Richard Waitis from Magnaflow, because you talk about welding, that guy can weld.
Well, what we're doing, and, you know, don't think that I am not actively participating in executive producing this television show. But yeah, I had made mention to you prior about Richard this summer stopping by and finishing the custom side pipes on the Cobra, right?
Yeah.
What a perfect, perfect subject matter. We can have the Cobra taken over to the shop at the school. He can go to the school, teach the kids, you know, and have some active participation with the best welders out there.
I mean, even if they're teaching it in the school, to just have someone like him on site that does it for a living, but also understands the business side of it, everything he does, just to talk a few minutes about Magnaflow, the relationship with the ambassadors, the sponsors, the installation stuff, the TV stuff he's done, and just welding in general. So
he's also
a super smart engineer.
100%. And also there's a great backstory with what the welding class is doing, because Governor Perry, former governor of Texas, has jumped on board with Vic, who runs the welding class down there, to try to bring it to the forefront, you know, and bring the trades to the forefront. So what they did is they've completely restored from the ground up his truck. And we're looking at trying to get it out to SEMA. We're looking at that's a question that I had for you today, which where is the best place to have this truck presented so that it helps the trades the most? Is it in the real truck, you know, area during SEMA? Is it PRI? Is it, what is it? What's the best place? We were talking with the Lincoln rep yesterday. You know, what's the best place for this to get the best bang for the buck? You know,
yeah, that's a good question. I would also probably reach out to SEMA Garage and get their thoughts on it, because they do so much of the SEMA's education side, and SEMA Garage are both good resources to hit up.
I think it's another reason to have the president of SEMA on, you know.
Yeah, we should reach out to Mike Spagnola and have him back on, because he ran SEMA Garage for a long time, so he'll be able to answer all of those questions.
100%, and if it benefits anyone, it benefits SEMA, right?
Yeah.
Because more people, you know, working with their hands, using the products that are sold, you know, at this gathering. So, but put your little brain, your gigantic brain, in fourth gear, try to figure out where the best place for this is. I'm going to ask a number of people, and maybe it's two or three different places, but
yeah,
Governor Perry is willing to attend if he gets, you know, the proper floor. Right. So.
Yeah. And that's a good point. You mentioned Real Truck, great company. We worked with them before. Real Truck. I just spoke with them and they invited me to do some work on the Ford Lightning and bring that out. Real Truck has a massive booth at the SEMA show in West Hall. I think they have the largest booth aside from like the OEs, like GM. And they're going to have a number, I don't know, almost a dozen maybe trucks in the booth. That's how big the booth is. And we were kind of talking about it going, well, so much is the lifted trucks, the off-road stuff, and there are a number of new parts, things like tonneau covers that you can't see if it's on a lifted truck. So I said, hey, you know what? Let's at least get one sport truck out there. And because we have a Lightning, nobody expects it to go off-road. And the reason why I got my Lightning is, of course, to talk about living with an electric truck, but also I have the one right behind me, the 95 Lightning. And that was meant to be sort of a sport truck as well. I said, so let's go with a sport truck theme. Let's lower this thing a little bit. Let's maybe flare the fenders or do something like that a little bit on it. And, you know, maybe air dam, aero effects, things like that on it. And show off some of the new pieces that they've been developing. It just clicked. It was a good idea. It was just kind of a fun way to show something that wasn't just another off-road truck. They're going to have plenty of cool things to show off for that. So yeah, going to be building up the new Ford Lightning for the SEMA show. And I haven't done a truck. This is actually the fifth vehicle I'd be bringing to SEMA. Yeah, it sounds right. I think the fifth vehicle, but haven't done a truck. And admittedly, this isn't a custom build from scratch. So it's not like we're doing a lot of custom fabrication. This is more of meant to be a way to sort of inspire and say, these are some fun ways to modify a vehicle, you know. And because real truck has a lot of parts that you can buy and bolt on, this is, it fits that type of booth. It doesn't have to be a full custom thing.
Yeah, with any luck, if I've got time, you'll see a 75 Ram Charger with a Hellcat motor in it.
And I love that idea, and you've been talking about it for a while as well. Now, SEMA's going to come up a little quicker than you think. Yeah. You know, the summer's going to go by quickly, and all of a sudden it's SEMA.
I honestly, you know, and I may say it here, but I don't think we're going to have the ability to have the time with this new TV show. 10 episodes have to be filmed by the beginning of the year. It's going to be crunch time.
Yeah, and that vehicle might be good content for the show. So as far as like getting stuff done on that vehicle and debuting it, might be a better debut for next year's SEMA. And honestly, knowing that that's less than a year and a half away, that's still
pushing it.
It's still quite a bit. You know, when you start doing content production around that and a debut and to debut it the right way. But like you were saying, you know, maybe one of the student builds or something could be a good fit. Like I said, like Real Truck is great. SEMA Garage is great.
What would be the perfect fit would be Governor Perry's truck.
Yeah.
The one that all the student, the whole shop class, they're the ones who restored the vehicle.
Yeah. And that's a good idea as well. Yeah, something to think about. Maybe we'll talk a little bit more about it off the air, but that'll be kind of fun. But anyway, I'm excited about bringing the Lightning out there. I'm not excited about driving it out there. So we're still working out if it's going to get transported out there or not.
Stop 7 times to get freaking charge yourself.
But you know, it's not just that. It's just like we've even trailered cars out there, like on open trailer, and then I get this is meant to be like a truck that's being used. It's got some miles on it, so it doesn't need to be absolutely perfect. But I, you know, just like I was thinking about the Mustang Mach 1, you know, when I sent that over, the amount of detailing and cleaning and just to get that car over there. And I, you know, I end up cleaning a bunch of shit that you don't even see, but yeah, you're right.
I opened up 6 garage doors of mine. I got to clean freaking 22 cars today. You're bitching about one freaking vehicle. Come on.
Yeah. And when I brought that car there at the last minute, we decided to swap like a steering wheel on it. So the first day before SEMA even opened,
I was wrenching on it.
I was alone
because every other son of a bitch that had a vehicle at SEMA was doing the same thing.
So it was in the Anderson Composites booth, and they were cool about it. They just like, yeah, you know, show opens tomorrow morning. You've got all night, do whatever you need. But I flew out there. I don't even remember if I brought the steering wheel or like it arrived, like it was mailed like to the hotel or something. And they're like, hey, we just got this made. We did a prototype of it. Will you put this in the car? And of course, you know, it was from Steeda, and those guys really helped me out. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. And they said, but after SEMA, we need it back. because it's the prototype and we haven't even done it. I was like, it's fine. It's cool.
They have a booth at SEMA, right?
They did not have a booth at SEMA. No, it was just my car and a couple of cars. So I was happy to do it. But yeah, I think we flew out. So we landed. Tammy went she came to SEMA first to see the stuff set up. And then she went to the hotel. And then I was like, I don't know how long it's going to be. I just got to work on this until it's done. You know, this, and who knows, I could get jammed up. You know, there's always like the one piece you can't remove and you're frustrated. And that was kind of the case, but anyway, swapped the steering wheel and then it worked out. It was fine. But I'm just trying to make this now that I'm 5 SEMA cars in. And for some people, that's not a lot. For some people, it is a lot. I have a little bit better idea of what to look forward to anticipate. And I just don't want to like get there and run into issues, because there's going to be some issues that you'll want to take care of. And I don't want to like in my head go, oh, on the day before SEMA, as it's being loaded into the convention center, I know I have to do these 5 things. I'd rather go, I don't have to do anything, but I'm going to go anyway. And I'm going to find a few things that I should have done that I forgot. But if I have a checklist of things anyway,
that's never the case. You can never pre-plan well enough to where you don't have a checklist walking into that door.
I remember, I think it was Ring Brothers a number of years ago, and they had the car sent out there. And I don't exactly know, I don't recall the full story, but they unloaded the car from a trailer and something happened to the car, like in the trailer, like a scratch of a paint or something like that. And this was a Ring Brothers car. This was a big debut and their quality. And I think they ended up calling everybody, like using their sponsors, using their relationships, everybody calling everybody, and found a shop and then went, this is like the night before SEMA, brought the car there and ended up finding a way to mix the paint and repaint like a rear quarter panel and then bring it to the, like 5 in the morning, load it back. Yeah, under,
but like, that shouldn't surprise you.
No, people. And these guys would pull it off. For me, I would have just put a big sticker on the side.
Look at me, right?
Yeah. Or I would have, you know, put the little podium with the specs on the about the car. I put that like in front of the fender. You know, but these guys were like, no, we have to repaint part of the car. They pulled it off. And I remember talking to them and they were just like, we're so tired. We're so beat. And they're like, don't lean on that part of the car.
Not like, dry yet.
Yeah, I don't even think it's dry yet. But yeah. So anyway, I'm excited about bringing something out there for sure. I would love to be able to get it transported out there. If anyone is taking any vehicles from Southern California to the SEMA show and have room to hitch a ride, I would appreciate that. Then I can like take the wheels off and really detail it up here and just roll it on.
Oh, Richard, trailer,
you know? Yeah, I should call Richard, but he's always got such a full docket. But we'll see if Real Truck mentioned they might have another truck in the area that they plan on bringing. And if I go, well, if there's a couple of us, can you get a transport for it? But you know, anyway, I'll make it work. If I got to bring it out there, I'll bring it out there myself, and then I'll just get there the day early and do what I can to get it all cleaned up.
Damn, someone just bought Paramount.
Oh, really? Interesting.
And it's a good thing for Goldberg's Garage.
Yeah. Have you seen this? The Pikes Peak truck, the Ford F-150 Lightning Pikes Peak truck. And anybody that's seen a Pikes Peak vehicle, they're really kind of crazy, over the top stuff. But, and Ford brought out their super truck last year, the super van. And it was like the second fastest thing up on the hill last year. So they want to go back with the F-150. Now, I want to say it's an F-150 pickup truck, but when you see it, there's really not a whole lot of pickup truck to it. But
can't believe they didn't build a GTD for them.
Yeah, you know, because they're still testing that, and they've had a lot of luck with the electric vehicles on this. But here's a shot of this thing. You can see it from the rear, but this thing is nuts. And this wing in the back, I think they said that wing provides 6,000 pounds of downforce at 150 miles an hour.
Yeah, and you will need it on Pikes Peak because so that you don't launch yourself over into the canyon.
Yeah, 100%. Like, and also the weight of the vehicle, although this is much lighter than a conventional F-150 Lightning, it is a heavier than normal vehicle. That actually helps. And then the electric power, because as you climb that hill, you lose power with altitude, right? And the electric motors help with that. But going uphill, you have so little front grip as well, which is why these massive, massive wings on the front. I believe it was last year. Didn't Tanner Faust run it last year in the I forgot. I don't know why I'm spacing out on the name. The car that Jensen Button and Ant Anstead and those guys were putting together. They're kind of bespoke, loosely based off of the Radford car. The Radford car. There was a racing version that they got Tanner Faust to drive up the hill. And of course, Tanner like won his class in that thing because he's fast as well. Anyway, this thing looks nuts. I think it'll be kind of fun to see up there. I haven't been to Pikes Peak in a couple of years. I'm not going to be able to make it.
Fun to see that in SEMA. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I hope so. I'm sure we will. I think it'd be really cool to see in person. If anything, just an exercise in aerodynamics. When you really start to look at this thing and all the things they have to do to make this thing sort of stick to the ground, going uphill and increasing altitude is pretty nuts on what they got to do to it. But anyway, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
One of the things that made this process a tiny bit easier in moving cars is that I shipped two of them off last week. The 170 and the twin turbo, and yeah. Mario at Gearhead is getting them prepped, completely prepped, along with Dave Sabagio for a nice little track day next week.
Yeah. It'd be nice to kind of flex its legs
with some interesting friends with similar vehicles. So,
but the twin turbo car, you haven't really got a chance to open it up. You drove it on the property.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a car that I don't know how to drive by any means. And that's why I sent it, because we have the track for the day. Then why not? And Mario's going to be there. He's going to shake it down and then teach me how to drive it in real time. It's an 8-mile track, but I'll get some seat time in it and try to learn how to pilot it without killing
myself. You know, I think the 8th mile is going to be perfect for that car. It's really about getting it set up and launching it. You know, I mean, even if you were there just doing like 60 foot, you know, launches just to figure out how to launch it, then
that's all I'm going to be doing most likely, because yeah. I have to take it in segments, especially with a car that's got 1300 to the rear tires. You know, I mean, it's really hot in Florida right now, so I'm sure the numbers will be a little more attractive than that in a different situation. But that's pretty freaking respectable, and that just shows you the power that this thing's got. And so, yeah, I mean, it'll be a drag racing class for me next week. So, yeah, I'm very much looking forward to that. And it really helped out because that's two less cars that I had.
Just a little bit more room.
Everyone counts, right? You know?
And Gage's Bronco, you know, that's out.
Well, that wasn't here at the garage, so I can't count that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that'll be cool to see. That'll be cool to finally get in that car and get a little bit of instruction from, you know, from Mario, from the guy who built it. And, you know, he's done some testing with it already. That's the one that they took it out initially, tested it. And then I think it was a drive shaft or a rear end or something on that thing needed.
Broke the rear end.
Or half shafts or something like that. Yeah.
Broke the rear end. The half shafts were on my car out here, but, a couple issues right and left. They took it down the drag strip, I don't know, probably 50 times already. So they've shaken it down, but it's been sitting here for 6 months. You know, change the plugs, change the oil, all that kind of shit. Try to figure out the boost. They put it on the dyno and ran 22, 25 pounds, you know, compare and contrast. Then at the end of the day, figure out what I can handle. So fortunately, it's something that you can adjust.
So car set up exclusively for E85, or does he have like a pump gas tune for it as well, like a 93?
Exclusively E85.
Just E85, yeah.
It's exclusively race gas.
Okay, yeah.
The other cars are set up on E85, not that.
Right, yeah. And big power numbers. We saw it, I think we saw it on the dyno. I don't know if we published it anywhere. Maybe you did.
I posted it yesterday. That's the latest dyno.
That's right. I just shared it. Yeah.
I mean, it's hit better numbers in the past, but 25 pounds of boost, man, I'm cool with 1300 of the rear tires for now.
Yeah. And honestly, like, you get in it, you try to launch that thing, 1100 horsepower, 1200, 1300 horsepower. I don't think it's going to make the difference.
It would make a difference if it was a quarter mile truck.
Yeah.
But I don't believe, I mean, you know, you stack on a couple hundred more horsepower and it's going to be extremely hard to hook that thing up. Right. So,
you know, it is. And we're going to try next week to get Ray McClellan from Full Throttle Customs. I took my Mustang Mach 1 and finally got it sort of dialed in with the tune. And we'll go over that next week. But he was basically saying, on like a pump cash street car, he's like, once you're getting 700 at the tires, it becomes a little hard to handle. It's just like, it just keeps spinning light to light. Like, it's a little, like, there is a pretty comfortable number where the car can be fun, and probably somewhere in the 600 range. That 600 rear wheel horsepower is actually a really fun street car. But once you start getting at 700 plus, it gets a little bit tough to handle. And of course it depends on the car and where you're driving it and what tires your stuff you're running.
A thousand of the tires, it makes for a really fun street car too, because I took the red eye out yesterday and I got it sideways twice.
Yeah. See, but that's the difficult part, is if you're going to drive that thing around town, you know, it's a little tough to keep that thing pointed straight.
Terrifying. I mean, it is. You just have to be careful. That's all.
Yeah. You have to be careful with it. So, anyway, we'll get some more detail from him. And then before we wrap up, I just got to hit on this story. This guy in Seattle, this with the Charger Hellcat, he's got it modified. I don't know if it's straight pipes or something he did. He just made it louder than normal. Already the Hellcats are loud, and he made it louder than normal. And he's been kind of like tearing up the streets, making a lot of noise, but also like driving irresponsibly, I think is the easiest way to say it. And you know, the cops were cracking down on him, told him to reel it in. He started publishing all the stuff on social media and I guess just getting a little too reckless and dangerous. Eventually, he gets caught, gets a ticket. I think he does a little bit of jail time. And then he gets out of jail and goes right back to doing it and tearing it up the streets. And so now the city, they're going after him and hitting him with fines. And they've come up with $83,000 of fines that they want to hit him with. I guess jail isn't enough to deter the guy. He's like, I'm out now and I'm going to dedicate my life to being a nemesis on the street.
Well, this is an old man's perspective, right? An old man's perspective. But, you know, remember when we did the donut maker at Dodge and we went out to Radford and we had to pick from a list of people? And
yeah.
At, right about at that point, a lot of forums, a lot of chat rooms, we were seeing extremely irresponsible driving from a lot of Hellcat. And because they were all posting it and bragging and boasting, and you know, it's socially freaking moronic and irresponsible, right? I mean, if you want to be a douchebag and video it and go out there and break the law, then be my guest. But if you don't think repercussions are coming, you're a mental midget, right? That described this new guy, right?
Yeah.
But these dudes are a dime a dozen, and it seems as if 95% of them are driving Hellcats. And in the past 2 years, that's given us a black eye. And am I an old man for not liking new technology and not liking the new way that people go about things? Absolutely, because it's the wrong way. It puts a black eye on the brotherhood of muscle,
yeah,
because it's not what we stand for, you know? And if you're going to go out and you're going to burn rubber and you're going to do stuff like that, then do it at your property or do it under, you know, controlled circumstances. But unfortunately, nowadays, kids are in for the shock value. So if you've got a Hellcat and you do donuts and you're evading a cop and you post it, you sure as shit are going to get a lot of likes. You're going to get a lot of people watching. That's just the way.
You're going to get caught.
And ultimately, you're going to get caught. Is it really worth the instant fame that you're going to garner, that you're going to go to jail when they catch you? I think they ought to throw the book at him, honestly.
Yeah, it was like you're saying, though. It's a black eye on the rest of us that are enthusiasts and enjoy our cars. And this is reason why stuff like this is why, like, cars and coffee events get shut down and car shows get shut down.
Takeovers, is that what they call it? The fuck is a takeover? When a bunch of adolescents on motorcycles, you know, stop you in the middle of the highway? Good luck taking over a highway that I'm driving on, because I'm going to pull a baseball bat out and hit your head into the freaking center field. You know, the fact is that these people have grown up without guidance and there's no repercussions for what they do. And now it's in the forefront and now it's on video. Now it's in front of the public. And now is their reckoning day, I believe. You know, if we're responsible enough to call a spade, because they're breaking the law. And that's not something that you should be doing and posting. It's quite irresponsible, right? Here's me sounding like an old man again, but I'm all into people having fun. I'm all into going out to burnout competitions and blowing tires up and going on a track and pushing a car to the edge. You know, but buying a Demon 170 so you can blow it up and get views, and the views are going to pay you back for the money that you laid out for the car. That's today's society. Well, today's social media society. And, you know, I mean, it's a bastardizing way of taking the car culture and turning it on its head and giving it a black eye. You know, the first guy with the Raptor R or the TRX, whatever, launched it over a creek and got banned by, you know, those guys are mental midgets.
Yeah, right? At least he didn't do it in the middle of a street. You know, like the guy broke his truck and whatever, and hopefully he didn't hurt himself, but broke his truck. But yeah, that's totally on him out in the middle of wherever the hell he did it, in the dirt someplace out in the middle of nowhere. But
today's day and age.
But you're right. Yeah. The takeovers that were out here, they grew pretty quickly, taking over intersections and people filming it. And eventually, way too many people were getting hit by the cars and getting hurt, and the cops really had to crack down. I haven't seen it, or at least haven't heard about it too much in a while. So maybe that's back down a little bit. But yeah, those are ridiculous. That was just silly. I don't understand the point of that at all. But
it's so beyond silly. It's criminal, and they need to be shut down.
Yeah, it hurts the rest of us that enjoy the car community.
Just at the end of the day, like you said, in a microcosm, it gives us a black eye. It gives the movement a black eye.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Yeah. All right. All right. You're going to be around next week. You're leaving to meet with Mario. Are you going to come? Are you being back for?
I'll be back. Well, shoot. I think I'll be in the air for the podcast. Maybe we can move the time a little bit.
Yeah. We'll schedule it. So I want to hear how it went out there with Mario and the guy. So, we'll try to let's adjust that, because if we're going to get Ray on the show too, we want to talk to Ray. We'll figure out the time and make that happen. All right, buddy. Thanks so much. Glad to see that you're back. And until next time, keep the air and the spare and the bag and the wheel.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.